This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. I'm Oisín Langan, and that is the atmosphere at full time at the Ryan McBride Brandywell as Danny Mullen's injury time goal saw the Candy Stripes take all 3 points in a 2-1 win over St. Pat's. What a goal it was as well. We'll hear from Candy Stripes boss Rory Higgins very shortly on that dramatic win. And we'll get analysis from former Derry City and Bulls player Gareth McGlynn. We've also got Ollie Horgan and Keith Long on Galway's 2-1 win at home to Waterford. We'll hear from the showgrounds where Shells made it 2 wins in a row beating Sligo Rovers 1-0. We've got Tim Clancy following Cork City's win against promotion rivals UCD. While it was another successful night for Finn Harps, and we hear from their manager, Darren Murphy. First, though, here is Derry City boss Rory Higgins speaking to Drive 105 following their victory against the Saints. He starts with birthday boy Danny Mullen's amazing goal to win it in injury time.
An absolutely brilliant team goal. They won it. It was them bits of play were few and far between tonight, but a real brilliant bit of play and a brilliant finish on his birthday. So, he'd be delighted with that. So we're happy with that. I felt for the first hour, just the summarise the performance, the first hour was poor. In and out of possession, it was poor, it was flat. And I thought our change and change of personnel, I felt we injected life and energy into the game, and we definitely finished the stronger, and for the last half an hour we were the better team. That we deserve to win it, as I don't really care. We managed to get it over the line, and it's something probably last year that we didn't do enough. But I did feel that once we equalised, that we had all the momentum and looked like the likely team. They're a good group of lads who care about each other and fight for each other, and you've seen that. I felt 2 seasons ago we scored a lot of late goals. Last season we didn't get enough late goals, so. Hopefully that's a feature of the team. There's elements that we're disappointed with, but elements that we're delighted with in terms of resilience and going to the death and the impact of the substitutions. Great for the group. It's great for the dressing room when you come from behind. They won, especially two second half goals. One around the 90th minute, and it's great. And to be fair, I have to mention the crowd. I felt at 1-0 in the second half when they scored. The crowd got right behind us and urged the team on, and I felt that give us a lift and give us momentum in the game. And as I said, when Pat scored, it's a big goal from Pat. Great delivery, great header, and that's what we want. And then we took over the game from then on.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and that was Rory Higgins, the Derry City manager, speaking to Drive 105 following their 2-1 win against St. Pat's at the Ryan McBride Brandywell on Friday night. A comeback win. Danny Mullen with an amazing finish to win it for Derry deep in injury time. What a way to celebrate your birthday. He turned 29 on Friday. It was a really well taken goal, a really good build up to it as well. Patrick Hooban got the equaliser for the Candy Stripes, who fell one behind after Rory Keating scored for St. Pat's. What a goal it was as well. Not sure there was anything Brian Maher could do about it. Hooban's goal, well, that means that he scores 2 in 2 games at the Ryan McBride Brandywell in the league. What a signing he's turned out to be. But of course, that comes as no surprise to anyone. Right, let's do a bit of a deep dive into this game with former Derry City and Bohemians player Gareth McGlynn. Gareth, who was on the TV coverage with RTE, who's also now on the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. But he's not too big time to share some time with us. Gareth, what a dramatic night at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was a good game. It was one I was looking forward to, because when Derry City go away and play in Sligo like they did last Saturday night, I tend to worry about. But when they're home and away to Bowes, Shamrock Rovers, I'm a little bit more confident. Now, that didn't transpire last night. The first half wasn't good enough. And to be honest with you, the first hour from Derry City, they just did not get to the pitch of the game. There's no doubt about it. Pats were more aggressive. They were on the front foot. I thought they started really, really well. And then obviously got the first goal. But to me, the reaction from Derry was positive. And it was the same in Sligo last week and on Saturday. The second half was much, much better. But they can't continue to start games like that.
As the movies No Time to Die and Man of Steel reminded us, a bad ending can ruin a mostly good show. Was that the case for St. Pat's? Was it a mostly good show and just a bad ending?
I think so, yeah. But from speaking with a few of the Pats fans, they played much better against Derry than they did against Bowes. But again, they just didn't have that killer instinct. To me, they were very good up until the final third. Obviously, Rory Keaton got an unbelievable goal, but they just didn't create enough for him up in the final third. So I think that's going to be a big problem for them. Obviously, they played the box in midfield, which caused Derry problems, I have to say, and have that particular system has caused Derry problems in the past, especially against Shamrock Rovers. But once Derry, they changed the formation two or three times, they went to three in the back, and then they went to 4-4-2, and they found the formation to cause them problems, which is actually unlike Rory Higgins in Derry City. But he changed it a couple of times just to get that little formula that was going to cause St. Pat's problems. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, St. Pat's, it was a huge overhaul off-season, so there is going to be a bedding-in period for the players and to get that chemistry right. But I predicted Shells would finish ahead of Pats and Bowes, and I still stand by that. I think Pats and Bowes will struggle this year behind the three of Shamrock Rovers, Derry and Shells.
Well, the evidence of last night supports your claim. John O'Sullivan scoring again. He looks like a player transformed. And to be fair to him, it is something he has spoken about himself in the last couple of weeks. We will get back to Derry because they won the game and they are the story. But one more question on St. Pat's. One thing that observers have said in the last couple of weeks is, well, if you have Rory Keating, why not get a bit of wit in and get crosses into him? Because that plays to his strength. Firstly, did they try that and did Derry just stop them? And secondly, if they didn't, do you think they should?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult when you're playing wingbacks. You need to have real control in the game to get your wingbacks forward enough to be able to deliver in the dangerous areas. On the right side, the player from,
Solberg. Carl Axel Solberg, yep.
Very, very, very good. I was mightily impressed with him. He has no fear. He reminds me of a modern day right fullback. He gets forward. He's got pace. They were trying to find him all day. So I believe that Rory Keaton will get all his service from that right hand side. He's a real, real, real good find for them. But again, the two players in behind him, they need to do more. They need to deliver more balls in behind. Everything was kind of in front of Derry and it was very easy to defend. There was nothing really threaded through or delivered high up the pitch.
And I can appreciate what John Daly's trying to do. He knows that if he just goes wide and whips crosses into Keating, teams will cotton onto that and teams will defend that. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but that seems like it's easy to defend if you get it right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think throughout the season, I mean, all pre-season, John Daly played four at the back, 4-4-3-3. And then all of a sudden, going away to Galway, he played three at the back and it worked really, really well. Yeah. I think he's just got to get a formula that's going to do well against the likes away to Waterford, Drogheda, Sligo and the lesser teams. But he's got to get a good formula to play against the good teams, the really good teams home and away, because it is different.
Yep. Let's talk about Derry City. Specifically the goals. Talk me through that first goal, because I put it to you before we started recording this chat that is a goal that Derry City may not have got last season.
Absolutely. And that's why he's been brought to the club. That is why Patrick Hooban has been brought to the club. And funny, we talked earlier as well, Oisin, about the catalyst. There's no doubt about it that energy was brought on by Paul McMullen when he came on the pitch. But Patrick Hooban on the 60th minute got the crowd going and got the players going. And he was the catalyst. About 2 minutes before that, he went for a ball in the middle of the park and he basically collided with both centre halves, Keeley and Redmond. And that got the whole team going and the whole crowd going. 3 minutes later, Patchin delivers a ball and he just comes out of nowhere, out of a crowd of players, and just heads it into the corner. That does not happen last year. Set pieces last year, Derry weren't as effective as they should be, but he will be a big changer for that. And it's a great header into the corner.
Now, talk to me about that second goal, the winner, which everyone can see is an amazing finish and a particularly nice moment for Danny Mullen, given it was his 29th birthday. But it's one of those goals that it's not just about the finish, is it? The build-up was a thing of beauty.
Oisin, and the build-up was started by Danny Mullen. He gets the ball in the middle of the park, turns two defenders, sees the run of Duffy, and he actually, in the game, we were standing beside the pitch, you could hear Duffy shouting. Now, Danny Mullen's seen him anyway because his vision's quite good, but you heard him. He just smelt something was up. He released him down the left-hand side, and what I love about it as well, I said it on RT at halftime, is we needed Michael Duffy to step up to the plate. With Patrick McElhinney not playing, he is the local player that the responsibility lies on, and he delivered. Went down the left-hand side, as he does, but it was the composure. He didn't just throw it into the box. He waited and waited and waited until the boys. And then, of course, it was a great pullback. Paul McMullen does a beautiful dummy. It comes to Danny Mullen. He takes a great touch with his right foot and then caresses it with his left foot with the laces, which is not easy to do. That could have went anywhere. He put it perfectly into the corner.
And Rory Higgins must take an awful lot of credit for that, because when he made those changes, I'm not sure if he saw that move exactly the way it happened before everyone else did, but he knew that's what would happen. He knew there'd be a bit of width, bit of energy, bit of pace. Now, those are all very generic terms that fans like me can use, but maybe you, as a former player and an expert, can explain it a bit.
Yeah. Well, Oisin, to me, the big thing that Derry have got, they lost four players and got two in. So they have consolidated the squad, but the quality of the squad is much better. So Hubin and Daniel Kelly, and they're almost two starters. So that meant Paul McMullen started on the bench. He was hungry. He had appetite. He needed to prove himself. Last year, that wasn't the case. He knew he was going to be playing every week last year on the right-hand side. Now he's got competition. And internal competition will raise the standards both internally for Derry and around the squad. So that's one thing. And then when you've got two players like Paul McMullen and Danny Mullen coming on, it's going to give the rest of the players a list. They're fresh. And Paul McMullen, I mean, his pace, his energy, when he's at it, he's a real, real threat. So, I mean, did Rory see it transpire like that? No, but you know when you've got those type of players on the pitch that something like that can happen.
And you have to give credit even for the guys who weren't on the pitch at that stage. Dan Kelly, who like ran at Pats and tested them and helped tire them out. I think who was gone at that stage? It just has slipped my mind. Jordan McInniff. Yeah, he was gone at that stage. One or two others as well, perhaps. But yeah, great subs by Derry. So they're playing Shamrock Rovers in Tala on Monday night, a game that will be live on Virgin Media. It will also be live on the radio on BBC Radio Foyle, and it will be on Drive 105. So there'll be a lot of eyes and ears on this game. How do you see it going?
It's an interesting one. Because of the injuries to Shamrock Rovers and Derry both, it's going to be a game very similar to the one in the middle of the year last year, when it's kind of two patched up teams. Early on, obviously, Shamrock Rovers haven't started well. The two games, I think, believe it or not, people think that because Shamrock Rovers' game on Friday night was cancelled, that they'll be fresher on Monday. But I actually see it as an advantage for the Derry, because probably on Friday night, had they played Drogheda, they would have won easy. Just kind of predicting that, then they would have been going into Monday night a little bit more confident, possibly a few players with a few goals. They're now coming in off the back of two suspect results. Derry are coming in 6 points clear and again with more confidence. I mean, the confidence they would have got from that late winner at St Pat's will really kick them on. They need that because they haven't started games well. So I see it being a relatively tight game early on, but I think Derry will come into it more confident.
Do you think he should, and Rory Higgins is who I'm talking about here, do you think he should start with the team that he finished with against St. Pat's and test Pats early, or sorry, test Rovers early, get at them early? Because early in the season, they haven't been amazing defensively. Now, we all know what Rovers are capable of and the fact that they can come good and Pico has to come back. But for Monday night, should you go at them from the off if you're Derry City?
Oh, Sheen, we know Rory Higgins is a brave manager. I think they will have to have some sort of plan for that. You think about the players that they're missing, Clark, Ferrugia, Byrne, McInniff, Pico. I mean, you've got to smell a little bit of weakness there and go and try and get the 3 points. And in fairness to Rory Higgins, anytime he's gone there, he has done well. They've played very well. Haven't always got the result, but they've always played well and put it up to Rovers. So I think it's going to be a cracking game. I think both of them will want to go and win it. I think similar to Pat's last night, John Daly went there to try and win the game last night. I think that's what you get whenever Rovers, Bowes, St Pat's and Derry play each other. All the teams will fancy their chances, and there's aggressive, positive young managers in all the clubs, and that's why you get great games.
Finally, you were on with RTE last night alongside Peter Collins and Conan Byrne. Did Conan tell you about scoring from his own half?
we didn't get a chance to discuss that one, but I'm very surprised I didn't hear that one. Yeah,
I'm very shocked. Okay, Gareth McGlynn, formerly of Derry City and Bohemians, thanks for joining us on the extratime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and the very best of luck, and enjoy covering the Shamrock Rovers Derry City game with Virgin Media on Monday night.
Appreciate it, Oisin. Thank you.
Right, let's go to the showgrounds, where Shelburne got a 1-0 victory against Sligo Rovers. Again, going back to the comments that I've seen on Twitter, well, I should really call it X, shouldn't I? Apparently, Sligo Rovers had a perfectly good goal disallowed. I couldn't honestly offer an opinion. I haven't seen it yet. But Damien Duff, he was happy with the win. Speaking to Jessica Farrier of Ocean FM and LOI TV, though, he kind of said while he was happy with the win, he wasn't overly impressed with his team's performance.
Very pleased with the win. It's such a difficult place to come to, so it's a brilliant, brilliant win, you'd have to say. But I think our performance with the ball was absolutely awful. Saying that, bizarrely, we probably still had the better chances. I think we had 2 1-on-1s, maybe 3 in the second half. Whereas we restricted them to maybe a lot of crosses and long shots. So defensively, yeah, brilliant. But with the ball, oof, it was a hard watch.
On the goal that you scored, that was a well-worked goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, here it's the game, isn't it? It's set pieces. They play a big part in a lot of leagues around the world now when you have set piece coaches, etc., etc. So Joey, with the help of the staff, drew them up earlier on in the week, and he's obviously ran through it with the lads yesterday, so it's an assist for Joey.
You mentioned your defence there, brilliant all night, as you said, restricted Sligo Rovers. Your goalkeeper was brilliant as well, never really looked in too much trouble tonight.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, we can look at that side of it, but there's only so long you can suck it up as well. We need to keep the ball better. We've got brilliant, brilliant players in our team, and we don't want to be sat on the edge of our box. You know, for the whole night, thought Sligo dealt with the conditions really well and they kept the ball really well. But listen, I won't harp on about our performance with the ball. I do think games can be pretty ugly in the early round of the League of Ireland here because of the pitches and the weather, etc., etc. But absolutely hats off to our guys. The one thing I asked them before the game is, this might not be pretty, so yous will have to find a way. And you can argue that, yeah, they did.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and that was Damien Duff speaking to Jessica Farry following Shell's 1-0 victory away to Sligo Rovers last night as you listen. Now, Galway enjoyed a 2-1 comeback win over Waterford at Éamon DC Park. We'll hear from Ollie Horgan and Keith Long shortly, but first, ExtraTime.com's Paul Corcoran was at the game, and afterwards, he sent us this voice note.
So while Waterford got into the final third on occasion tonight, with Robin Port firing over the bar early on, and Dara Power also drawing a save from Brendan Clark, it was Galway who were on the attack for much of the game. Carlos Sullivan had a couple of chances early on. The former Sligo Rovers man is leading the line again for Galway. One of his chances drew a save from Sam Sargent when he got into the box at the end of Vince Borden through a ball. Aidan Irvine also had to be wondering what he could do to score in that first half. The midfielder hit the top left corner with a beautiful effort from long range. It was about half an hour gone. He then had a shot from close range minutes later, but Waterford centre-back Kasper Radakowski blocked the ball on the line. The crucial moment from the half arrived in the 18th minute, however. Connor Parsons took the ball down the right wing before squaring the ball across his goal to Park Amund. The striker was all alone at the back post and tapped the ball in for a second goal of the campaign and a second goal in the space of 2 weeks. It was more of the same in the second half as Galway United went on the attack for much of the time, and they got their equaliser shortly after the restart. Durvin again was involved when David Hurley played the ball to him on the right. He took the ball on and drilled the ball low and hard, with Vince Borden attacking the ball and getting there before everyone else in the box to nudge the ball into the bottom corner. Waterford did have a chance to go back in the lead when a lapse in concentration by defender Killian Bruder allowed Parsons to strip the ball from him in the final third. He played the ball to Harvey McAdam, making his debut tonight for Waterford, but the midfielder couldn't trap the ball properly to get a clean shot off. Despite United's dominance, they had struggled to get good chances off midway through the second half, but they got their just reward in the 79th minute when they won a free kick at the edge of the box. McCormick flicked the ball short to David Hurley in a common set piece routine for the tribesmen, and Hurley leathered the ball through the crowded box and into the back of the net. The fine score here in Éamon DC Park is Galway United 2, Waterford 1.
So that's the story of the game with Paul Corcoran of ExtraTime.com. Here's the view of Galway assistant manager Ollie Horgan.
I think, to be fair, the result matched the performance, albeit we were 1-0 alone. You know, while we were 1-0 alone at half time, I don't think anyone was getting too carried away. We had created chances here, hit the joint and the crossfire and pushed, and we won clear off the line that Waterford got to. But you can see the quality of Waterford had in the counter attack with Parsons and obviously Paragamond. He looks fit and as sharp as he was when he was with Shamrock Rovers or Sligo Rovers years ago. I think, you know, overall, I think we shaded it. We deserved to win it. I thought the togetherness was excellent. And I thought the supporters at 1-0 down were mighty, and we need that. And we spoke about that, John and I, that it's all right when you're winning a game 2-1 at the end, of course, you know, everyone's going to back you. But when we were 1-0 down and needed them, they were there and there in their numbers, and, you know, that was huge. And it needs to be that, you know, should we go behind in a game? And we will go behind in plenty of games from now and the end of the season. But look, all in all, you know, without being in any way, you know, biased, I thought we deserved to win. It's a tough game. It's great to see, you know, a proper Premier Division game back in Terryland. It's 6 years since Galway played here. And please God, we'll have plenty more nights like this. But there's a hell of a lot of highs and lows. I don't think anyone got carried away against Pats when we lashed. And similarly, no one got too carried away when we won in Dundalk, because we're back in on Monday, of all places, Shelburne. But it's mighty to be going there. And it's great to be going there in the Premier Division. And, you know, long may that continue.
Galway United assistant manager Ollie Horgan speaking to ExtraTime.com's Paul Corcoran. Afterwards, Paul also caught up with Blues manager Keith Long.
Disappointed with the goals that we conceded. Probably fair results. And to be fair, Galway had the better of the game. And the majority of the chances, they test your organisation. They test your willingness to run and defend and, you know, move. So, we got what we deserved. I think the goal we conceded 3 minutes into the second half is a poor one. We're back on our heels in the box, and we don't pick up. And you can't have spare players in the box. You can't have attackers free in the box. And, you know, that's just the basics of the game. And, you know, the second goal, yeah, listen, I don't think it's a free kick. It's probably a free kick our way. But after that, we got to do better.
Look, you started off well in the first half, and obviously you got the goal. I mean, maybe Galway United maybe had a good chunk of the possession. I don't know how you view that, but I mean, you must have seen the game was there maybe for the taking, but it just didn't go your way in the end, I suppose. Was there any particular Galway set up to counteract you?
Galway played the way they played, and the way they played all last year. They played to their strengths. They have a game plan, they have a purpose about how they play, and they're very effective. You know, very difficult opposition to play against, certainly on a pitch like that where, you know, it's energy sapping, you can't pass the ball. But you've got to credit Galway with that, you know, and I think there's people that look down their noses on how some teams play. There's no right and wrong way of playing football. And, Galway have won tonight, I think deservedly so. But we're disappointed with how we've played overall. You know, I think we can play better. I think we can move the ball better. We can attack better. We can create more chances, more openings. Did we work Brendan Clark enough tonight? Probably not. And certainly outside the possession tonight, we got to do better. The goals we conceded just ain't good enough. And I think you can't give any team, never mind Galway, with the home crowd behind them, you know, any opportunity, any oxygen in the game. And unfortunately, we didn't do that well enough tonight.
And look, Keith, I'll wrap it up after this one, but I suppose it's a tough turnaround now, only a few days to Pats on Monday. What are your thoughts kind of going into that game?
It's a great game to have at the RSC. It's not ideal, obviously, coming here on an energy-sapping pitch, but we're in the Premier Division with the big boys for a reason, and that's where we want to be, so we're looking forward to the game on Monday.
Keith Long, the Waterford manager, speaking to ExtraTime.com's Paul Corcoran following their 2-1 defeat away to Galway last night as you listen. Or maybe Monday morning, because from what we can see on the statistics, many of you actually wait until Monday to listen to the podcast. So if that is the case, I hope you had a nice weekend, and I hope you're looking forward to the matches tonight. We'll have a podcast after those as well. Anyway, that was Keith Long speaking to Paul Corcoran. Treaty United have made it 3 wins from 3 in the First Division. They beat Kerry 1-0 away from home on Friday night. Finn Harps, they're having a decent start as well. They've got 7 points from a possible 9. They beat Athlone Town 2-0 in Ballybuffet. Success Edigan and Doherty with the goals. Not in that order, I might add. After the game, Harps manager Darren Murphy told Highland Radio how glad he is to beat what he thinks is a very good Athlone Town team.
You know, their first 2 games of the season, they've scored 6 goals. 5 of them have come in the first 30 minutes in the 2 games. So they are scoring goals. They're a threat. You can see they're big, they're strong, they're powerful. They mix their game up well. You know, they want to play and then they go direct. They're a threat from set pieces, throw-ins and corners. But we dealt with it very well, and that's the most pleasing thing for me. We have worked hard all week on trying to deal with them types of things, and we done well tonight. We dealt with the long throw. We dealt with the corners. We were able to be physical ourselves, and we were able to exploit areas that we thought we could exploit, and we created chances where we thought we could create chances, and it's something that we have worked extremely hard on. You know, Kevin McHugh and Eamon Curry look at that side of the game for me, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of the opposition, and And I think we got their strengths nailed on, and we certainly found their weaknesses where we thought we could be a threat, and that's where our goals came from. We thought we could be every bit of a threat from set pieces because of the goals that they had conceded, and that's how the game panned itself out.
Kian Coleman scored the only goal as Cork City made it 7 points out of a possible nine with a 1-0 victory against UCD at Turner's Cross. ExtraTime.com's Philip Morrissey was there and afterwards sent us this voice note.
A late first half header from Kian Coleman proving to be the difference between the sides. The visitors were unlucky to come away with nothing as only desperate defending and poor finishing kept them out. Barry Coffeythall read late on, but the home side hung on. Boss Tim Clancy will be unhappy with how this home side performed. He knows that they can do better. Bigger challenges wait ahead.
So does Cork City manager Tim Clancy agree with Philip Morrissey that the performance wasn't great? Well, the answer to that question is yes. And here he is.
Didn't think we were good tonight. I thought UCD, especially second half, were far better. But that performance showed us that there's the other side. It answered another question, which was a good check. When things aren't going well and we're not playing as well as we can be, I thought we defended really well. Dealt with a lot of crosses, tackles, blocks, balls into the box, and Brad's made a couple of saves, one was foot, I think, and the big one at the end then when the player goes in on goal, and he answers that as well. So performance-wise, from an attacking point of view and with the ball, not great. Without the ball was really good, and listen, it gets us 3 points.
Cork City manager Tim Clancy speaking after their 1-0 win at Turner's Cross against UCD. Let's just run you through the results just in case you didn't catch them. Although if you're listening to a League of Ireland podcast, I take it you're very much invested in the league and you know exactly what went on. But anyway, we'll run through them. In the Premier Division, Derry City 2, St Pat's 1, Galway United 2, Waterford 1, Sligo Rovers 0, Shelburne 1, Shamrock Rovers and Drogheda United game, and the Bohemians and Dundalk match, they were both postponed because of the weather. Derry City and Shelburne both on 7 points at the top of the table. Galway third on 6 points. Waterford fourth on 4 points. Bohemians fifth on 4 points. St Pat's sixth on 3 points. Sligo Rovers seventh on 2 points. Shamrock Rovers eighth on 1 point. Dundalk second from bottom on 1 point. And Drogheda bottom on no points. In the First Division, Bray Wanderers and Longford Town and Wexford and Cove were both postponed. In the games that did go ahead, it finished Cork City 1, UCD 0, Finharps 2, Athlone Town 0, and Kerry FC 0, Treaty United 1. Kerry FC missing a penalty deep in injury time in that game. So Treaty United, I mean, I was banging on about Cork City and Finharps and the starts that they've had earlier on, but what a start they've had. 3 wins from 3, they're top of the table on 9 points. Cork City and Finharps both on 7 points. Athlone fourth on 4 points. Bray Wanderers fifth on 3 points. UCD sixth on 3 points. Cove Ramblers seventh on 1 point. Longford, Wexford and Kerry all on no points. The Women's President's Cup is on tomorrow. It kicks off at 5 o'clock. It's Athlone against Piemont United and it's on in Athlone. There is a full series of fixtures in the Premier Division on Monday. Drogheda United taking on Bowes, Dundalk up against Sligo Rovers, Shelburne play Galway United, Waterford take on St Pat's and Shamrock Rovers play Derry City. We will have a podcast either very late on Monday or very early on Tuesday. That's almost it for myself, Oisín Langan. Don't forget, even though we'll have a podcast before it, Luke Jordan will be along with a deep dive into everything that's happening in the League of Ireland with the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland podcast. Earlier in the week, by the way, McDara Ferris and I did a special on the Republic of Ireland's draw against Italy and loss against Wales, and the view on those games and how things are looking heading into the next tranche of fixtures. Congratulations, by the way, to John O'Shea, who will take Ireland for 2 games. Could he get the job on a permanent basis if it goes well? I'm not sure. I think the FAI have someone in mind, but there's a reason why they can't announce it now. Maybe I'm wrong there. I don't know. Great to see Brian Kerr in with them as well. And Colin Hawkins, actually, who would have played under Brian Kerr, was on the watch along on the St. Pat's app earlier on, and he was delighted for Brian Kerr. He said that since he got sick, Brian has been on to him all the time and like has been very good and very kind, which is good to see. And it's good to see Brian Kerr back involved again because he's been out of it for too long. Right, that's it for me. Don't forget to check out extratime.com for everything that's happening in Irish football. You can get in contact with me, of course, via at Oisín Langan. Until late on Monday night or early on Tuesday morning, take care. We'll see you. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.